Now on UK Health Radio, treat yourself to an upgrade. Pack away your low self-esteem. Leave behind that empty feeling. Stow your fears and doubts in the overhead locker. And go from stress to authentic success with Danielle Sachs.
Hello, hello, big welcome to you. I'm your host, Daniel Sachs, and wherever you are in the world, I just want to say thank you for allowing me to spend this time with you because time is precious. And before I introduce you to today's guest, I would like to spend a few moments just giving you a few reflections because lately I have been thinking a lot about the kind of world that we are living in. I mean, I hardly watch the news anymore because everything I see and everything I watch is, it feels busy, loud, constantly asking for more. I mean, more this, more achievements, more success, more doing. While something beautifully simple seems to receive less and less attention. Things like kindness and love. And when I look back over more than 40 years of guiding people, I can honestly say that I have become convinced that the quality of your and my life is shaped much more by the quality of our heart than by the length of any resume or any summary of certifications and achievements and goals. So my health collapse in 1998 completely changed the questions I asked myself. I became so much less interested in what I wanted to achieve and much more interested in who I wanted to become. Now, looking back, that became, of course, the beginning of everything I call today the true wealth and the true wealth accounts. Those reflections eventually became those four accounts: life force, freedom, fulfillment, and financial flow. Together, they help you and I to build a life that feels rich from within. And that is also why I created the quiz, the True Wealth Accounts quiz. And if you haven't done it, it is a gentle invitation to pause and just discover for yourself which of these four accounts would most benefit from your attention today. And if you feel curious, I would love to invite you to visit danielsachs.com/quiz. It's my gift to you. And today's guest honestly made me think deeply about all of this. She has for more than 46 years dedicated her life to helping other people create success that is built on inner peace, generosity, and contribution. Hundreds of thousands of people all over the world have been touched by her work. And what impressed me the most after spending quite a bit of time with her was not just everything she has achieved. That's why I'm talking about it. It was more the gentleness with which she speaks, the authenticity, the vulnerability, the kindness that she brought naturally into every answer that she gave to my questions. I could feel that genuine joy when she talks about helping other human beings. Now, of course, I am talking about the one and only Deborah Poneman. She is the founder of Yes to Success, the Awake Method and Ageless Seminars. And she has guided, as I said, hundreds of thousands of people. She worked with organizations around the world, inspired so many entrepreneurs, best-selling authors, transformational leaders, now for more than four decades. So I truly look up to her because she doesn't stop. She's still going in her 70s. When you ask her what she is most proud of, and that's what touched me the most, is that she speaks about raising two compassionate children who want to make the world a better place. Now, that to me, that tells you, doesn't it, everything you need to know about the woman that you are about to meet just after a little break. I promise you that this conversation is not a waste of your time. It will be worth every single second. So wherever you are in the world, I invite you here and now to slow down for a little while and enjoy my amazing, I would say, spontaneous conversation with the most wonderful Deborah Honeman. Talk to you just now after this little break.
That makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to every single one of you, wherever you are in the world, because I am talking today to someone truly amazing, special, a very, to me, enlightened soul. Let's talk, Deborah Honeman. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I've been looking forward to this, and here we are.
We've had storms and everything between us, and isn't technology amazing that I'm here in Belgium, you're there, over there, and let's just have an amazing conversation on what truly matters to both of us. And I think to start, I would maybe love, Deborah, for you to maybe talk about a stressful situation in your life that has been a shift in everything that you have become.
That is so funny that you should ask me that right off the bat, because I used to be business partners with Marcy Shimoff, who you have to interview. She wrote all of the Chicken Soup for the Woman Soul and the Mother Soul and the Couple Soul and Happy for Marie Marcy. Yes. Anyway, and what we learned when we started your Year of Miracles together is that we have to tell our story of what's stressful in our life and the dark night of the soul and then how we overcame it. And we couldn't come up with one.
Wow.
From me. But it's actually, it's funny because my mother said that I popped out of the womb happy. And I always say to Mom, what does that mean? I popped out. I'm like, I don't know what that means. And I popped out of the womb happy. But from a very young age, I actually have known the value of kindness. I've known the value of what you can do to mitigate your karma. And I'm up there in years, and I've practiced these things my entire life. As a matter of fact, you want me to tell you the story of when I was 13 and I actually had an experience of how the universe works?
Yes.
Okay. Absolutely true story. I'm 13 years old. I go to school, East Prairie School, and I was one of the cool girls. I was never a mean girl, never and ever, but I was a cool girl. And we had this club, and we would sit during recess on a picnic table out in the East Prairie schoolyard. And it was every girl's dream to be in our club. So one day, these two girls bring over another girl who is decidedly not cool and bring her over to our picnic table. And they say to her, guess what? We're inviting you to be in our club. And her face lit up like we had just given her a gold brick. More, so much more than that. Gold brick would have been nothing compared to being invited to be in this club. And then after her eyes lit up two suns, they said, oh, we're just kidding. We would never let you be in our club. And I had my first bona fide spiritual experience at that moment because the shock that went through my body that they could do that. And all of a sudden, I saw the entire world, really the universe, as a matrix. And I saw that the pain from this one girl radiated out and caused pain to every corner of the universe.
Wow.
I saw it with my own little 13, 14-year-old eyes. I guess it was 13 and 14 because I was in the seventh grade. And I saw that not only did her pain affect every corner of the universe, but I also saw that her pain went back into those girls. And the only thing that I could say is it actually fried them.
Wow.
I saw this and I'm like, here I am, this little girl. I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. But all I knew was that at that moment, I said to myself, I am never in this lifetime going to cause anybody pain because I see the result that it affects the universe and I don't want to be fried like those two girls were fried. And then I had the thought, and it must be the same for joy. If you cause somebody joy, if you do something kind, loving, gracious, uplift them, give a compliment, that would also affect every corner of the universe. And in my little 13, 14-year-old life, I made that decision at that moment. Now, have I been perfect? No. Do I remember it all the time? Yes. And later on, I actually asked my first spiritual teacher, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, who you know, who was the founder of the Transcendental Meditation Movement, yes, guru to the Beatles and Beach Boys and all those. And I asked him if that was a true experience. And he verified that, yes, it was exactly true.
Of course.
That causing one person pain causes the universe pain. I also knew the law of karma, that as you sow, so shall you reap, because I became a meditation teacher at a very young age, and I started learning these concepts. And I actually have had many teachers who have said the same thing, and I had this one teacher, his name is Master John Douglas, and he said that being a giver is one of the most important things you could do to mitigate your karma. And it's a very powerful statement from a man who sees beyond the ordinary. Being a giver is one of the most important things you could do to lessen or alleviate your karma. And it's so easy to be a giver.
Of course. And you are still
That's
a
the
giver
thing.
today. When I hear your life journey, you're still today, what you're doing at in your wisest, and let's say in your wildest dreams, if you looked at the 13-year-old girl and who you are today, have you been living that decision all your life?
Pretty much so, pretty much. But and I also had these very loving, kind, wonderful parents who were the epitome of givers, and they were my role models.
Yes.
You know, and I think that also that was not the karma. Having something not great happen that I overcame, of course I have little things that I overcome all the time. If not, I wouldn't have been born into a human body. That's why we come to Earth School to learn our lessons.
Yes.
But I learned those things at a very young age. And like Master John Douglas says, being a giver is what you can do to mitigate your karma. And he says, some people do things like, I'm going to test this out. I'm going to give 10% of my finances and see if my finances improve. Mm-hmm. That's not the attitude you want to be giving with. You give for the pure joy of giving, not to see what you're going to get back. But he also added in his teaching that we will eventually get it back. But we also need to be patient. It's not, oh, I did that good deed, so now let me wait for the good karma to come back to me. And then he said this one sentence, Master John Douglas, under his breath, he said, what I've seen is that most people stop just before they get the rewards.
Ah, that's an interesting
And he said,
one.
And then he said, they miss the magic karmic recalculation moment.
Wow.
The karmic recalculation moment. Think about that. We know that as you sow, so shall you reap. Mm-hmm. We know that no act of kindness, however small, is ever wasted. We know that the giver always gets more than the receiver. But did you ever think that you might give up on giving or on kindness just a moment too soon before the karmic recalculation moment?
Wow, it's a beautiful
So you got to be
term.
Patient.
The karma recalculation moment. I really like that. Now, is that why, you are a natural giver. Let's, from young age, I could feel that. And I don't know if my audience, anyone listening now, knows that Deborah has, for goodness sake, two children, then adopted children, got children. So if that is not a testimonial of you being a giver, I don't know what is. But let's just, is that why for you relationship capital is so important? Because when I read about your bio, is that one of the reasons, because you're such a giver, that you believe in that relationship capital?
Yeah. Could I tell you the story about how relationship capital came about?
Of course.
Okay. So I'll tell you the story about one of my favorite givers, and his name is Daniel, and he happens to be my son.
Oh.
And ever since Daniel,
we have a common name. Wow.
That's right. You and Daniel have the... Oh, I knew I loved you when I met you. So ever since he was a little guy, he was a natural giver. And Daniel always loved basketball. And he was firmly entrenched in the basketball community in Chicago from the time he played small fry, it was called. Small fry basketball in grammar school. And one day when Daniel was either a freshman, and I think he was a freshman in high school, he was asked by a gentleman at least three times his age if he would help recruit players for that man's for-profit high school basketball player showcase. Showcases are when players play against one another in a round robin and college scouts come and watch them. So the price tag to be in the showcase was several hundred dollars, which doesn't seem like a huge price for the potential to be seen by a college coach and hopefully be offered a life-changing scholarship. But Daniel soon discovered that most of the potential showcase participants he contacted didn't have that kind of money. In fact, they lived in the neighborhoods in Chicago. Mm. They didn't even have the money for the bus fare to get to the showcase, which was being held in a far northern suburb. And as Daniel tried to recruit people, he asked the organizer if he could reduce the price to be in the showcase for the kids with the greatest need. And the guy said no. It was like an absolute no. And at that moment, Daniel had this idea to start a nonprofit showcase, that he would start a nonprofit and then he would collect money. He was 15. He would collect money. He would let these kids be in a showcase for free. So he founded his nonprofit, Shot in the Dark Foundation, at the age of 15.
Shot in the Dark, it's called.
It was called Shot in the Dark Foundation. Now it's called Edify, E-D-I-F-Y-E, Edify, but that's a whole long story. But so he started putting on basketball showcases for kids in the more challenged neighborhoods in Chicago. So he solicited donations, mostly from my friends, and because it's expensive to put on a showcase, renting the gyms, paying the refs, the triage, the jerseys, but any player would play for free no matter what their financial status would be.
Wow.
And they had a chance to be seen by college coaches. So his first showcase had about 15 coaches and about 40 players, and it grew and it grew. His last showcase had about 350 players and about 150 college coaches. And to date, he has generated over $100 million.
No.
Yes, for college scholarships for kids in the Chicago area. So, first of all, what does this have to do with mitigating karma and relationship capital? So one day after a very successful showcase, probably the third year he is putting them on, and this one was clearly going to generate millions in scholarship dollars. And I finally said to Daniel, who never took a penny, is there a way maybe, Daniel, you could make some money for yourself? Because he works, obviously, worked day and night on this. And he said, Mom, be patient. I'm building relationship capital.
Oh, there it is.
And actually, he said, chill, Mom. To tell you the truth, chill. I'm building relationship capital. So I let it go for a while, and another year went by, and I watched as he helped player after player get six-figure scholarships. And after a while, I had to say again, he loved what he was doing. I was immensely proud of him. But given the long hours he spent, and I just thought, maybe. So I said, Daniel, just maybe a little bit of money. And he said, Mom. And by the way, this is another thing about him. He actually dropped out of high school. And people are like, you let your son drop out of high school? First of all, you can't pick up a, 5'10", 160-pound kid and put him in the baby car seat and bring him to school, right? But he says, Mom, I can't sit in the classroom learning calculus and physics and stuff I'm never going to use in my life when I could be helping change thousands of these kids' lives.
Oh, yeah, but anybody needs to hear this.
And the other thing about raising my kids is I was never the discouragement committee. One of the things I teach in my Yes to Success seminars is never be the discouragement committee, because if somebody has an idea of something they want to do, that's a gift from God. God chose them. I need you to do this. I need you to start this podcast. I need you to start this nonprofit. So who am I to say that God is wrong when my kids have an idea?
Wow.
So I always say, great, I'm here to support you. That's your idea. And when he wanted to start, I didn't say, you're 15 years old. You can't start a nonprofit. Blah. No, I'm not the discouragement committee ever for my kids to this day, because they have to follow their path. They have to listen to the whispers that God whispers in their ear. But I did say to him, there must be some way for you to make money from this endeavor. And his reply was even more emphatic. He said, Mom, you'll see. I'm not doing this to make money. I'm doing this because I want these kids to succeed. And trust me, I will end up getting back more than money. And he said, just hang in there. Within years, the kids who he got scholarships went into the MBA, and also one man who saw what Daniel was doing, helping these kids in the hood, Daniel had this idea to make a movie called Shot in the Dark about kids in the hood and how the only way out for them is basketball and football and basketball. And he wanted to make this movie that was a documentary about the kids and following them through college. And somebody who he had built relationship capital with and was so impressed at how Daniel just worked and didn't take a penny, gave him $500,000 to make the movie. And then it was nominated for an Emmy Award.
I always say, Deborah, wealth flows through you, hey? It doesn't come to you. It comes from the inside out, and that's how it expands. And so for me, that is true wealth. And so I'm so glad because I'm writing my second book and I'm so into that. And I so love that, how life, the giving and the receiving, it's in its own time and its own. So it's, thank you for that story. So beautiful.
Yeah. I just want to say one addendum to it. And that is Daniel's nonprofit is now managed by a team of devoted Chicagoans, which left Daniel free to start his own sports management firm. And the investor in his sports management firm was, you guessed it, someone he had built relationship capital with. Now he has it's called NIL, name, image, and likeness. He is the number one NIL agency in the United States.
Wow.
And
talking about a story, talking about yes to success, isn't that testimonial for everything you've been teaching?
And here's one more quick story. I promise you.
We all love stories. So.
Okay. So one day I said to Daniel, thank you, Daniel, so much for teaching me about this concept of relationship capital. You are absolutely right. Building it pays off. It's a brilliant concept. And he looked at me, he said, I learned it from you. And I said, you did? And he says, yeah, you taught me that giving is its own reward. You taught me that the person standing in front of you at any given moment, you treat them like the most important person in the world. Yeah. And we give for the sake of giving, not to expect a thank you. We don't give to be appreciated or acknowledged or recognized.
Beautiful.
She's, I remember, Mom, you used to say the sun doesn't give light to be thanks. It gives light because it's what it's there to do. So that was it. So that was my karmic mitigation moment for my son to say that to me. Yes. I'm like, okay, I'm happy now.
Yeah. Which also proves that our children copy us without us realizing and knowing, but they do. And that is so beautiful when you have that reciprocity, or how do you call it? You can see it in your own children, how they have copied you. And that's a beautiful testimonial to you.
I think the quote is, your actions speak so loud, I can't hear what you're saying. Because some people, they don't walk their talk.
I agree.
They tell you what you should do, but then you do something else. And I'll tell you something else, Danielle. These kids right now, they are so astute. The kids coming in, you have to watch your talk, walk your talk, or they are going to bust you.
I agree. And thank you for that. But what I also wanted to talk to you about, because relationship capital, have you had exchanges or relationships where there could be conflict or stress or the other side, because you are very much into your kindness, into your positivity? Have you encountered, and how do you deal with that? So how do you deal with stress in your life?
I'll tell you how I do it. First of all, of course I have conflict. I'm in the business world, and it's not just sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows all the time. But there are a few things that I do. What I've learned over the years is pause before you attack. Pause before you need to be right. And sometimes what I say is, it's about being right. And do you really think that if you need to be right about this thing, it's going to matter next week or next month or next year or even tomorrow?
Yeah.
And the answer is no. So what I usually say to people is, I can see how you would see it that way. It doesn't mean that I agree, but I could see how you would see it that way. And I often say, let me think about it before it escalates, right? I can see And it's true. Where a person is coming from, their background, their experience, their life,
Different perceptions.
yeah, I could see why you could see it that way. And then, and what happens is I'm not always right. I always like to use the beach ball analogy. If you are standing on one side of a beach ball and I am standing on the other side of the beach ball and I say, this beach ball is yellow and white. And you say, no, it's not. It's red and blue. And I'm looking at it. It's yellow and white. I'm looking at it. It's red and blue. There's no truth. There's your truth. There's my truth.
Yes.
And if you attack, then people just hang on to, you know, red and blue
I
for
agree.
longer. And so what I sometimes I use this breath technique, which y'all will love, especially if I'm on a Zoom and there's six or seven people. I'm on the board of a few different nonprofits, and sometimes I want to scream. So instead of screaming during the board meetings, I do what's called straw breath. And I'm going to teach it to everybody now. I'll teach it to, it's also called Shatali Prana. It's a pranayama. And here's how you do it. And I am telling you, everybody could do it with me right now. And you will see your stress level go down immediately. So let's do it together.
Okay.
You breathe in through your nose. And then when you breathe out through your mouth, breathe out through pursed lips like you're blowing through a straw. Slowly. One breath, you probably already feel different. Again, in through your nose, out through your mouth, pursed lips like you're blowing through a tiny straw. Slowly.
Yes, it works.
And after you do three or four of those, like I'll be on one of these Zoom board meetings, I say, okay, straw breath, and I do some straw breaths. And as soon as I do that, my mental clarity returns.
Yeah.
And my anger subsides, and
Wow.
I actually am able to see the brilliance in what other people are saying instead of needing to be right.
Beautiful. In nonviolent communication, we say, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? That's a very nice sentence as well. So thank you for that. So let me, because there's another question that I wanted to ask you. After so many years that I'm on this planet, I feel that wealth is something that grows from the inside out. And that's what we just talked about. I want your concept and how you see true wealth. What is true wealth for you?
Obviously, to me, we're all vibrational beings, okay? And what is it that you really want in your life? Maybe what you want is a Lamborghini and a mansion on the hill. But let me tell you, I do hang out with the rich and famous. And I see it every single time that they can build the mansion on the hill. But when they open the doors and they walk in, it is not going to take their pain away. It's like one of those fake houses on a Hollywood movie set that you open it up and it's just a empty field behind it. If you think those things are going to bring you happiness, you have to really get it that the rich and famous, you hear it all the time. Not only are they not happy, they even take their own lives because they got what they thought was going to make them happy. But it didn't. But I believe that the first thing that we have to do is that we have to create inner silence, and we have to create an immovable foundation of just peace. And what I believe is that the number one way to do this is to get yourself a meditation practice that has been proven to get rid of stress, that has been proven to create that silent foundation. I remember the hugging saint, her name is Amaji. She said, now is the time to cling to your spiritual practices so that when the world shakes, you remain unshakable.
Beautiful said.
Right? And you can build a skyscraper, but of your life.
Yeah.
But if there there is not a strong, deep foundation, the first earthquake, the first hurricane or tornado, that skyscraper, I don't care how tall, it is going to topple. But if you have a strong, deep foundation, it's going to withstand the hurricanes and the tornadoes and the earthquakes of life.
I agree.
And that's the point. I think that if people find a meditation practice, you know that our mutual dear friend, Janet, whose beautiful home I'm at right now, we both became transcendental meditation teachers back in the early 70s. And there is a myriad of scientific research that shows that you become unshakable. But whatever meditation technique works for you, breath practices. I also am very devoted to the breath practice that I learned from the Art of Living Foundation. Mm-hmm. Again, creates a silent foundation inside. And people say, oh, I don't have the time to meditate. I remember one, I think it was Maharishi who said, if you don't have 20 minutes to meditate, then you should meditate for an hour.
Hour. I love that. This conversation goes too quickly. I just wanted to have a radio show that lasts for an hour so we can chat a bit more. But I want to ask you one last question. Is there a quote, a statement, something that you live by, Deborah, that you want to share with us? Is there a sentence, a quote, something that, or even a word, a concept that you live by that you think this is what I want to share with the audience just to close off?
I'm going to share a long quote.
Okay.
And this is it.
Okay.
It's from, again, Master John Douglas, and I have it memorized. And he says, you can say and do anything in this world because there are very few people who can see what's coming from inside of you, what's really cooking in the oven. But the master angels and all of the great beings are only concerned with what's cooking in your oven, not what you're flapping about. He's very irreverent. Not what you're flapping about, saying and doing on the outside, trying to appear like something. He says, it's like putting a sticker on your car that you're a vegan. All right, congratulations. But what is the real content of your heart? Because that is what the angels see.
When nobody's watching.
He said, the angels see everything, but they're not concerned with what you're trying to do and say and how you're trying to appear. It is what is within you. That is how you are deemed worthy, deserving, and allowed to have true growth, bliss, and happiness. So my question that I ask myself constantly is, what is the real content of my heart at this moment?
Oh, shall we end with that and give that? Can you repeat that to the audience, anyone listening? Give them that question to finish off.
What is the real content of my heart? And the other question I always ask, especially when I am in one of those moods, one of those places, which is less and less the longer I meditate, but what would love do?
Oh, yes. Let's end with that. What would love do? And let's take a moment of silence, maybe have a little break. I'm going to have a little break and I'll come back to the audience just now. Deborah Poneman, thank you so much for all your wisdom. I so love it. Thank you so much.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, The station that makes you feel good.
Come back again. And of course, I always enjoy these few minutes after an interview because they allow me to stay with that conversation just a little longer and reflect on what touched me the most. And this conversation to me is all about kindness. As I said in the intro, Deborah Pearlman herself is to me an example of pure kindness. And one story that stayed with me was when Deborah shared how at just 13 years old, she watched those two girls deliberately hurt another girl on the school playground. In that moment, she decided she wanted to bring more joy into the world than pain. What a beautiful decision to make so early in life. And I recognized that because when my little brother died, I went to school, I said goodbye to him. I came back for lunch and he passed away. He was gone. So I made that decision to myself. In that moment, when I saw my whole family around me in pain, I decided I'm not going to cause anyone pain and I'm going to help people all over. So it reminded me as well, that story of Deborah, that people really remember everything we say. They do remember how we make them feel. And is that not what it's all about? Another story that stayed with me was the story of her son, Daniel. Now, at 15 years old, when you look at that age, how he looked around the city, saw talented young basketball players who simply did not have the financial means to be seen by all these college scouts. And so instead of accepting that truth, that reality, he started a nonprofit organization called Shot in the Dark Foundation. Now it is known as Edify. So where young people could actually participate free of charge. And when you know that that initiative has helped generate well over $100 million in scholarships, what an extraordinary reminder that only one generous idea can change thousands of lives. And Deborah also introduced us to the wonderful expression that has meant a lot in my own life and that I talk about a lot in my new book. The word is relationship capital. And it reminded me that some of the greatest investments that we make are the people that we meet, the connections that we have, the people we encourage, the trust we build, and the kindness that we leave behind. And so relationship capital has become to me one of my biggest capitals. And that's how you feel rich in life, the more capital like that you invest in. Also, she spoke beautifully about meditation. Listening to her reminded me again that every one of us needs a place where we can reconnect with ourselves. For Deborah, it is meditation. For me, it is more like when I talk about protecting my life force, walking in nature, having breathing exercises, all that thing. And I meditate as well. So finally, I just want to share that one question that she asks herself every single day. What is the real content of my heart? Whoa, I think that may be one of the most beautiful questions we can carry with us this coming week. If today's conversation inspired you at all, and I'm sure it did, I truly encourage you to go and discover Deborah's wonderful programs and work. After 46 years, she still continues to inspire people around the world with the same generosity and kindness. And you can learn more at yes2success.com. Yes2success.com. I encourage you to go there now, here and now, to enroll in our next cohort, our next program, as you do not know if there will be many opportunities like this to come. So go to her website, yes2success.com, and just find out for yourself if it would be a fit for you. And before I say goodbye, I just want to ask you a small favor, because in any of my conversations in these beautiful episodes, if they stay with you, or if there's a guest or a topic that you would love for me to explore in the future, I would generally love to hear from you. Any reflection, any feedback, any suggestion, simply send me a mail to Danielle at danielsachs.com, and I will always read every message myself. And hearing from you helps me to create more of those conversations that truly matter. Because isn't it all about true wealth, about feeling rich in life? I just want you to know before you go that you are your best investment always. And I thank you for joining me today. And from my heart to yours, I will see you next time. Bye-bye for now.
From Stress to Authentic Success was presented by Danielle Sachs. Join Danielle at the same time next week here on UK Health Radio. And meanwhile, for more on how to thrive in business and everyday life by being true to yourself, go to daniellesachs.com.